Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power. Hold your Bibles up. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, God. Help us by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, and bringing us into all truth. Cause us to understand, to comprehend your word so that we can be able to receive it for every part of our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word, it brings light, causing us to be able to be different because we see things differently based on your word. And God, we cancel the assignment once again of the enemy that would come to steal the word. You said he comes immediately to steal the word because he doesn't want it to get sown into the hearts of your people and grow and cause a great harvest. So we cancel that assignment. Cause the blessing of God to come upon their lives, each and every one today. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everybody said, amen. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose, but I'm not just a hearer. I'm also a doer of God's word. And because I'm a doer and a hearer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Now, go ahead and be seated, except for those of you that are visiting with us for the very first time. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, let's recognize any first-time visitors that we have here. All right. All right, let's go on our Bibles, Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12, and we're studying faith. Can you say that with me? Say faith. Say it again. Say faith. Now, really, everyone has faith. We use faith all the time. We don't realize it. But everything that we do, we basically, you went to school by faith, believing that you would finish. You drive your car by faith, believing you're going to get to a destination. You definitely take an airplane by faith, believing that that airplane is going to make it to its destination without any mishaps whatsoever. So when we study faith, we are studying what the Word of God talks to us about. Through even nature, all the things around us, we're able to understand that it takes faith to be able to receive and do the things that we do. Everybody heard what I just said? It takes faith. Say, it takes faith. Say it again. Say, it takes faith. Say it again. Say, it takes faith. So faith is what it's going to take, and I believe that faith is what we use to take or receive from God. It takes faith to receive from God as well. Now, we have been studying this. We went through this last week, just got started with this concerning faith. And how did it begin? And really, for the Bible, it began right here in Genesis chapter 12 with a man by the name of Abram, whose name was then changed to Abraham, because Jesus is not the father of faith, not for us believers. Jesus is the Son of God, who, of course, operated in faith, but the one that's considered to be the father of faith in your Bible is actually Abraham, because he was a man that used faith by believing what God said would come to pass, and it came to pass, and God just accredited that to his account for righteousness' sake. Now, you're righteous, and he does that still. If you will believe by faith what God is saying, God will count you as an individual that is living, as it were, a righteous life. Because faith carries us to another place because we're being obedient to God and his word. Now, God and his word are one. You cannot separate God from his word. So if you're going to believe God, you have to believe God's word. Now, so it's important to be able to believe God, and we believe God by believing what he said in his word. Now, when Abram was here becoming the patriarch or the father of faith, there was no Bible. There was nothing but God and Abraham having a relationship. And so God ultimately will bless you by following what he is saying to you in your spirit. Now, it takes time to learn how to hear from God. Because we hear from ourselves, we hear some suggestions from the enemy to us. We hear other people. We have a lot of different things that we have to cast down. I wrote the book Casting Down Imaginations based on 2 Corinthians 10, 4, and 5, because things are coming to us all the time, and you can't accept everything you hear. When I wrote this book several years ago, almost 20-something years ago, when I wrote it, we did not have all the social media and electronic communications that we have now. And God put in my heart that you cannot turn off everything that's coming at you, because some of the things that you're hearing are going to help you, but some things you need to filter out and cast down because they're not concurring with what God says. And if you're going to live a godly life, you need things that go along with or are parallel with or is traveling with what God says. God and his word are one, so God cannot change from what he said. He has to stay steady with what he said. So we have to line up with him, not have him line up with us. So we find out what God said, and we line up with him. We have to listen to what God is saying. Now, when I'm dealing with aircraft, a lot of times, all the times, we have to do a pre-flight. And I think that we need to start doing a pre-flight with our services. I think we need to get you ready for this journey, ready for this flight. And so it's important for us to realize that there's some things that God allows to come to us by passion. He has so much passion for it. And when we even speak of the word compassion, I remember First Lady taught this here, that word can be broken down even having passion, because God is passionate about his word, and he's passionate about you. He's a jealous God. He does not want you serving other gods, even if you become the God, where all you care about is yourself. He's a jealous God. So he has compassion for you. But I remember the teaching that our First Lady did during that time when that series, when she was teaching about compassion, and she said God had revealed her that you can break the word down into two words. It's come passion. In other words, come with passion. That if you're going to come with some passion. You're going to come into this marriage, come into that marriage with passion. You're going to come to work for somebody, I work with someone. No, come with some passion. If you're going to come into faith, come with passion. Come into it with passion, to where you're passionate about the word of God, passionate about the things of God, passionate about what God said in his word. You got a hunger. You just always want to know, what did God say on that? And let me see this scripture. And different scriptures come to you during the day, and you have to go look them up and go see, what is that really saying? That's been in my mind for a little bit. I've been hearing this in my spirit. And you go and you dig in and find out about how passionate you can be about different things in the word of God. Come with some passion. I know the world used to say it all the time. Come strong or don't come at all. You ain't going to come strong. Don't come at all. Don't come around me when you're weak. Come around with me when you got some oomph in your heart for me. And that's how we should be about the word of God. All right, now that we got the pre-flight done, let's go ahead and take a look at the scriptures here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. I'm going to simply read this. Let's put it up on the board. Hebrews 12 and 1, King James Version. I want to be able to break this down. This is the beginning of faith. It's Genesis 12 and 1. We'll get back to Hebrews. We're going to go to Hebrews, but not now. It says, now the Lord has said, who said?
The Lord.
The Lord has said, who said?
The Lord.
The Lord has said, who said?
The Lord.
The Lord has said, who said? Now, if I were you, I'd be the RCA dog right now. Remember the RCA dog? Some of you too young to be able to know what I'm talking about. It's the one that was listening to the speaker. You know, we have a little stuffed animal. His name is Mr. Snuggles. And I put a speaker right close to him and had him listening real close. Ain't the same thing. But anyhow, You need to perk up. Perk up when the Bible says, the Lord said. Because God's word will change your life. If you yield to the word of God, I guarantee you, if you yield to the word of God, you are not going to live the same way. Now the Lord has said, who said? Now the Lord has said, who said? I don't want you ever to read the Bible and just skim over that the Lord said. Now the Lord has said, who said? The Lord had said unto Abram, man, God will talk to you personally. The Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country. Wonderful to be part of this country. I supported my dad 24 years in the military, supporting this country. I support this country 150%. But I'm not going to make this country heaven. It's not the kingdom of God. I have dual citizenship. It's the United States of America, which I have my allegiance to. I pledge allegiance to that flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And I pledge my allegiance to that, but I pledge my eternity to the kingdom. I am a kingdom citizen. I am dual citizen. But I am not going to put this nation in front of my God. But I love this nation because it loves my God. Says, get out of thy country. In other words, stop just making everything about your nation. And this wasn't about America. It was about a different nation that he was part of. Actually, it was a group of countries that were really not very well known. And from thy kindred. In other words, from your relatives. See, if God's going to really deal with you, you've got to learn how to be able to not try to please everybody around you. And we have too many people that want to please everybody and want people to please them. And everything is about who's pleasing who. And that's not important. What is important is doing what God says. Get away from it. Some of you will not excel until you get away from the people you call your friends, which are not your friends. You will find out who's your friends when you're up in traction in the hospital. You'll find out who your friends are when you're laying in that casket. See, because a lot of people say they're friends, and people, we even throw that around too much. That you're my friend, because you friended me. Get real. You end up in the hospital, they ain't coming to see you. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. They got to. Relatives are wonderful, but you can't make them your God. Well, your family is everything. Everything in my family is just my family and family, 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 family. Praise God for the family. I have a wonderful family. But if my family goes sideways concerning the things of God, it ain't affecting me. I'm going forward. From your kindred, from your father's house. Now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to get an inheritance in, of course, the Middle Eastern world, an inheritance from my father, especially if I'm the oldest son. So why do I want to get away from that? Because God the Father has better. And to a land that I will show you, that's where faith comes in. I will show you, I haven't shown you yet, we're looking for something that right now is invisible. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's not even faith if you can see it. Faith is dealing with what is not or what is invisible. We have to learn how to be able to fly by instrument. You got to fly by this instrument. You got to believe what God says. You got to fly by having a word from God in prayer. You got to learn how to not want to see everything. Seeing is not believing. A lot of things that you believe because you saw it turned out to be a lie, including people. People can be living lies. You have to believe what God says. And sometimes God will tell you things while you're watching something. As a pastor, God does it to me quite often, where somebody is saying something to me, and while they're talking, the Spirit of the Lord is saying they're lying. And I just sit there and just look at him, because I'm just going to wait until the Spirit of God, what he says, come to pass. I ain't going to tell them you lying. They know they're lying. I know they're lying. God knows they're lying, but they don't know that I know that they know. So I just sit there and just listen to him and look at him. And the Lord's like, don't believe a thing he said. It ain't nothing but a living lie. And some of us, and I was for a period of time, I was a living lie. I lived a life of, before I got tied into the things of God, man, you couldn't believe a thing I said. I was a professional, a professional deceiver. And see, and that's in the last days, there'll be those that are deceiving and being deceived. That's what the Bible says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Go back now to Genesis chapter 12, and let's look at that again. Verse number 1 at the bottom, it says, from your family. This is New King James Version now. We'll take it. From your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will show you. See, you have to know that faith, please write this down, faith takes time. Oh, we in trouble now. Because we're used to the microwave. We're used to everything instant. We ain't, I mean, you know, 30 seconds on the microwave is too long for us now. What are you talking about? 30 seconds for dinner? I got to put this thing in for 4.5 minutes and then stir it and then put it in for another minute? What's wrong with these companies? Can't they create stuff that's already hot when I take it out of the freezer? Ain't done that yet. I will show you. I will show you. That's a promise. In the Bible, there are at least 35,000 promises for us. So we have to believe, by his stripes, you are healed. When you feel sick, when the doctor's saying there's no use, you'll never walk again. The cancer, it can't be cured. So you might as well go home and get your papers together and call your family. I've gone through this with so many people over the years as a pastor. I'm saying, don't you call nobody. Get a second opinion, a third opinion. Get an opinion from the opinion. His word, even though he can pronounce you dead, his word is not God's. God gets the final word. So I'm not listening to you. I'll listen to you for a moment. Thank you for telling me what to pray over. But I'm going to use my faith of what God says, because he says, whose report will you believe? And I say, I will believe the report of the Lord. Now, you got to want to fight this way, because you can roll over and die. You can roll over, stay in sickness. You can roll over, stay broke and busted and disgusted. But God wants those in faith in the kingdom of God to be those that are the rich and the famous. You can't avoid it. You start getting blessed the way God wants to bless you, people are going to know who you are. You start serving God with all your heart, you're going to accumulate stuff. Because God's going to bless you. He can't take it. When you are obedient, he just can't take it. He has to do something. He is ordering the angels. Let's go. Help him. Bless him. Holy Spirit is just touching the hearts of people. Because you're the obedient one. See, I lived in disobedience. And obedience is better. I tried to bless myself. It's all about me. I'll get it together. I'm sharp. I know some stuff. It didn't work. It doesn't work. It never will work. And it certainly is not eternal. You will come finding yourself in hell, wishing you would have listened to that old preacher standing up there with the old curly hair, wearing its suit. You're going to wish you had listened. I will show you. And God is telling you right now, he wants to show you. He will show and tell. First, he'll tell you first, and then he'll show you. What we want to do is go into kindergarten with something for them to see, to show them, and then tell them. Mm-mm. God will tell you first, then he shows you. And you got to believe he's going to bring it to pass, even though you can't see it. Faith takes time. Put it down if you haven't already. Faith takes time. That's where we lose most people. Because they're so impatient, they can't wait for God's manifestation of what they're believing for. And faith takes time. Verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2 now. Go ahead and push the button. Verse 2. I will make you, watch this now, because we have to realize God makes these promises. In fact, I timed this out. And in 33 seconds, Abraham's life changed. I'll read it. 33 seconds, I timed it. Put it in the King James Version now. I timed this, how quickly your life can change. With God talking to you for 33 seconds, if you believe what he says, your life is changed. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. We'll look at all of this. Continue, please. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. 33 seconds. That right there is what faith is tied to. The origin of faith is tied to right there. Abraham then believed God. Go to the next verse. We're just going to read the first line. So Abraham departed. After God tells you or tells you what you should do, what do? Sit there and just do nothing, right? The difference between us and Abraham is that as soon as Abraham heard what God told him to do, he moved. So Abraham departed. As the Lord has spoken. So Abraham departed. As the Lord has spoken. Some of us, God has been screaming to us for years to do a certain thing, to live a certain way, to stop acting a certain ism of whatever it is that we're doing, to help us, to get you to pay the tithe, give an offer, to be able to get you to stop being disobedient, to get you to stop lying with your lying lips, to get you to be able to be nice to people. And sometimes it takes forever. This man did exactly what God said immediately because he was in faith. If God said it, I'm doing it. And so he did what God has spoken unto him immediately. Listen to what I'm saying. Now, I know that sometimes God will give us a vision or give us a word, but there's timing to that. But when God gives you a direct order, what to do, do it. There's many things that I do. People say, well, it's not time. Yes, it is. God told me to do it right now. Now, first you have to develop a relationship with God where you hear God, not hear last night's pizza or hear your aching belly or hear your headache. You got to develop a relationship where you know when God is speaking to you. That takes time. And what we talked about last week, the secret place, a quiet place that you have set aside in your house somewhere where you can go and hear from God. In fact, I began this process of hearing from God years ago when I first, before I got into this ministry, because God was telling me some stuff, because I was in a messed up situation. I was like Abraham with a messed up family and a messed up future. And I went to prayer. I would bury my face into the carpet at the church that I was going to, while they were having service. I was in there crying to the Lord, saying, what do you want me to do? And one day, when I had my face in the carpet on that Wednesday night, he began to say to me, tell me stuff like, Don, I never left you. Don, I'm with you. Don, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to cause this to happen. This. And I'm sitting there, man. I'm a dude looking for a job, man. I'm sitting there saying, what are you talking about? Is this God saying this? But after a period of time, what he said started coming to pass and coming to pass and coming to pass and coming to pass. Don't be afraid to hear God and try to find out if it is God. Because sometimes we don't, all we listen to is ourselves. And for some of you, this is too much for you. You don't even want to hear it. You can't take it. And it's fine. You live like you're living. I assume when you come here, you want to be taught, but you don't know. But if you don't want to, let the door hit your buttons on your way out. Get real. Because see, I am only here for those who want to get the help. Your physician may call you and say, listen, it's time now for your checkup for blood pressure or whatever, but they're not going to come to your house and put you in handcuffs and take you into the office. You have to get in your car, wait in that stupid waiting room for half an hour, sit in that other room with your clothes off, freezing. You know what I'm talking about, for another half hour. He walk in there and in 5 minutes hit your knee and say, okay, you're all right, go buy some of this. And you're like, is this really real? Is this really what I'm supposed to do? You do that all the time. And then 6 months, a year from now, you go do the same thing again. Go sit in that stupid room. Go sit in that other cold room. Take your clothes off. Sit there, hit you in the other knee. And, you go buy some stuff. At the pharmacy. But see, we're willing to hear that. But when we talk about the things of God that could keep you out of sickness and disease, bless you to where you are blessed to be a blessing. Watch this. Let's go back to verse 2, and I'm going to leave it alone right here. I only got a few seconds left. And I will make of thee a great nation. Back it up one more. Let's stay at two. I only got too much. Okay. And I will make of thee a great nation. God is going to bless you. See, because what Abraham received, he is a father. We're supposed to follow the fathers. God will cause a blessing upon your life to where you will be an influential person. And maybe you don't want to. Too bad. When you get into the things of God, God wants to influence your life. And he wants you to be an influencer instead of following influencers. We believers should be the influencer because we got something to say. And I will make of thee a great nation. So God is going to cause you to be able to have this thing about you where people know about you. Maybe it's just in your sphere of the employment that you're in. And I will bless thee. It only takes one blessing. And make your name great. You're going to be famous in some kind of way. And you shall be a blessing. When you get to that last line, that's life. You just love it. I don't do many things for myself. Most of the things I do now is for other people, including the things that seems like it's fun to me, like flying airplanes and helicopters. I'm doing that for ministry. The Lord put it in my heart 20-something years ago. You're going to need to be able to do this because at least you can cut down one pilot you need. Because some aircraft, you have to have two pilots. Some you don't. I loved it anyhow, but he took what I love and put it into something that I can do to give glory to God as we go from city to city to city, preaching the gospel. I ain't going to take a pogo stick there. Don't look at me. You just took a flight to Chicago or Los Angeles, whatever, to go see Mickey Mouse or something. I take flights to be able to preach the gospel. It's my passion. So it's not done until you're blessed to be a blessing. Let's go to the next verse, and we're going to quit right here. First line or two of that next verse. Verse 3, come on, let's go. And I will bless them that bless thee. In other words, the blessing of God that's on your life will cause other people to get blessed if they bless your life. People will do well by doing you well. People that come against you, they're hurting themselves. If you see, and that keeps you from feeling like you got to carry a bazooka all day long. You know what I mean? They come to me, I'm just blowing them out the water. No, God will bless those that bless you, and he will curse those that curse you. And so I don't worry about getting back at people. This is where revenge doesn't have to be a part of your life. Because you know God's going to take care of you. And you're not afraid of people trying to hurt you. It doesn't say, and I will curse those. Well, don't worry about that. You're never going to be cursed. No, people will curse you. People stick these fingers. The one finger salute. And I say, you're just getting it back. You know, you can't give me no one-finger salute. I'm a child of God. I'm a man of faith. You give me a one-finger salute, I don't care if you're driving down the street. You give me a one-finger salute, whatever that means, it's coming back at you. It's coming back at you, multiplied, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over, show. That's how you're getting it, that one finger. Coming right back at you. Keep your fingers to yourself. You might lose them messing with me. See, and people don't realize it. I believe this stuff. I am not crazy to believe this. That if you mess with me, you curse me, you getting cursed. I ain't thinking about you. I am crazy enough. Yeah, I'm crazy enough to believe it all. I believe it from Genesis to maps. I mean, I believe everything in there. I sure do. I believe the commas. I believe everything. Commas, exclamation points. I believe every part of it. See, because those that bless me have been blessed. You bless this pastor and his wife, you're just going to get blessed. In fact, I used my pastor that way. When I needed a blessing, wham, here's some money, Pastor. Pastor Price, here you go, Pastor. I'm blessed. I know you don't need nothing, but here you go. You're going to get it anyhow because I need a blessing because I want the boomerang back. Because if I bless that man of God, I am blessed. And I mean, we ain't play either. It's 5,000. Just for you, that ain't for the church. For you, Pastor. Take that money and do what you want with it. Because I knew he was going to live right anyhow. He ended up giving away most of it back to the church anyhow. Say amen. So we're blessed to be. Say, I'm blessed to be. Say it again. Say, I'm blessed to be. Say, I'm blessed to be. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them or him that curses you. Don't let people get hurt with you. They can hurt themselves. Now, I'm not one to hate. I'm not the one to hate. You may not like me, may not like my tie today. I like it. I think it looks pretty good. I know it's green, and I'm wearing blue. But it's got a little blue in there. Y'all see the little blue in there? Who said no? Bring that camera up in here. That's because you're way back in the center camera, way back almost against the wall. Any further, you'll be in the parking lot. We're going to get you saved, girl. Seriously, we have to help, and we try to be nice to people, and sometimes people just don't like you, even though you're a nice person. There ain't nothing you can do. That's why the scripture says, I'll curse those that curse you. You don't have to curse them. And most of y'all think I'm talking about cussing. I ain't talking about cussing. Curse. Speak negative of. Okay. Anyhow, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is how God cannot lie. Every family in the earth is blessed by Abraham, whether they believe him or not. This is how important learning how to live by faith is. You can't study this, follow this, do this, and not change your life to be blessed. As we go through this series, you learn how to do all this, you're going to see some awesome things happen to your life because you're going to be pleasing God. Say amen to that. Give God some praise. Clap your hands, all you people.